Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Alrighty, it is Wendy Snyder, and we are joined by Terry Savage. I love Wednesdays because you are here for the whole hour. I really appreciate it.
I love being here, Wendy.
She is nationally syndicated financial columnist, author, and wonderful woman, Terry Savage. You can find more at terrysavage.com. All right, Pete said we need to talk about T-bills. Wendy said, no. What's a T-bill?
No. Well, no, we're going to talk about savings bonds, and this is the last time you're going to hear me talk about Series I bonds, I would predict, okay, for years to come. But what I have to say is important for today, because you have about 24 hours now left. Now, Wendy, you remember the old savings bonds, the Series E bonds, and your grandparents gave them to you?
I found a whole bunch of them for both my kids and my dad, or my husband. On Easter Sunday, his parents found one when he was born, so it's like 50-some years old.
You can, if you have those old paper bonds, you have to cash them in, not at a bank anymore. Very few banks do. At treasurydirect.gov, you have to send them in. You have to send in forms and so forth. But recently, in recent years, this is the last year and a half, there's been a lot of attention on Series I bonds. Those bonds have a fixed base rate, very low, currently 0.4%, I mean less than 0.5%. But every 6 months, there is an adjustment based on inflation. Last summer, based on the rates that were set on May 1st last year, that combined 0.4% plus the inflation adjustment took the rate up to 9.62%. And I was on here with John all the time saying, here's how you do it. Go to treasurydirect.gov, open an account, the instructions, and they're still there at terrysavage.com. And you can get 9.62%. Of course, the rate will change every 6 months. So as we got to November last year, it was clear that inflation was coming down. And we could kind of guess ahead of time that the I-bond rate would drop, and it did, to 6.48%. And everybody was a giant rush to get them in October before the rate changed November 1st. Well, ta-da, trumpets. Currently, the rate is that 6.48%. Even if you buy them today at the end of the period, you get full 6 months of 6.48. But starting on Monday, and you have to make your purchase by Thursday night, starting on Monday, I can confidently say the rate will be below 4%.
Jeez.
Yep. Savings bonds rates are going to drop to below 4%, primarily because, whatever the politicians say, the CPI, the inflation numbers, have been coming down. Now, it's a possibility that they could raise that fixed portion of the bond up from 0.4% to 0.6 or 0.8. Even so, that's going to make the bonds a lot lower in yield. And if you do still want to buy savings bonds and you can only buy $10,000 a year, go to your Treasury Direct account and do it today before tomorrow night, because that's when the cutoff is.
Can I ask you a personal question? I mean, not personal to you, personal to me.
Money's personal to everybody.
Okay. Well, this is probably way too much information that I shouldn't be revealing, but my cousin passed away a couple Januaries ago and left some money to both my boys. And at this point, I just have, is it a TOD account or a POD account where it's under my name, but if something should happen to me, they're the beneficiaries. Uh-huh. They can't take the money out because I want them to pretend they don't even have that money. Well, it's making no interest in a savings account. Would it be wise of me to take $10,000 of that and invest in an I-bond? Because they're not going to, for sure.
Wendy, I'm going to ask you now, if you want to continue this during the commercial break, we can do it. But I don't know how old your boys are.
20 and 24.
Oh, and are they out of college?
No.
And do they have student loans?
No.
Oh, well, good for them. Oh, yeah. You can, let me think about this.
I mean, I just wondered, because it's like you're not getting any interest in,
oh, no.
You know,
the banks are counting on people like you.
I know.
Say, yeah,
they love
it's
me.
It's sitting there.
Because I don't know what to do with it. And it's like they may need it for something, you know, an emergency fund, but I kind of want them to forget about it.
Okay. Well, if they were working a job, I would have you put some of the money in an IRA for them. They could contribute, but they're not either of them working full time or getting income, are they?
Yes. Well, it's one's a musician and one's part-time work.
Okay, but you
and part-time students.
But whatever they earn from work, even if they spend it all, let's say they each earn $5,000 a year. Sorry, we were asking this after tax time. I would have given them a little tax break. But they can open an IRA, and they should probably open a non-deductible Roth IRA. And if you have that much income, you could take the money out of there and give it to them in the form of a Roth IRA.
You know what? Can I just move in with you for 6 months, and can you tutor me? And
I'm on the phone today, but next week I'll be in the studio. Well, over there is John coming.
John's back next week, but I'll give you my home address. I'll take you out for lunch.
I think I owe you lunch. Let's get to everybody else's questions. But basically, what I'd want to get these young men to do is start thinking about tax-deferred, diversified savings in the stock market. I know it could go up or down, and I don't know how much money is involved, and I won't ask you. But a Roth IRA is going to be a limited amount of money for them anyway based on their earnings. And I would like to see them start having their money grow just in the Standard & Poor 500 stock index fund that they can get of opening the IRA at Fidelity or Vanguard. This is not investment genius for them. This is not saying, let's go study crypto.
Right.
This is just saying, let's build this. It'll all grow tax deferred. And every year after that, when you're working and earning more, I'll match some of whatever you're willing to contribute. But I'll start out with this opening amount. And every year I'll match it. Because that will give them something that will teach them about growth. But it's a long-term kind of thing.
Terry, we have a text that came over from 219. Hi, Terry. Last week on the show, you said banks will no longer redeem savings bonds. Tell listeners to check with their bank. Our Chase Bank will redeem bonds with a face value of $200 or less if you're a customer and the bonds are in your name. Another bank will redeem bonds with a face value up to $1,000. I've been redeeming all my matured bonds in order to avoid having to send them to Treasury Direct. Don't know how long the banks will keep doing this.
Yeah, it's getting harder and harder to do this. And some banks will do it to accommodate customers with, as you point out, limits. If you go to treasurydirect.gov and you click on, if you go in the search box, which I just did while we were reading that text, cash series double E bonds, there's a link. And that goes to treasurydirect.gov, savings-bonds, then cashing-a bond. So just go up there and go put it in the search window. It's really not difficult to do, but it takes about 6 or 8 weeks to get them back. But you do have to mail them in. And I can understand not wanting to do that.
It's kind of weird, I got to be honest with you. It's like putting cash in an ATM. I don't like doing that either.
Exactly.
But and there's also a website I went on that you plug in the numbers of those bonds, and it tells you how much they're worth.
At treasurydirect.gov. You can do that. You can find out. Just search market value of bonds in the little search box, and there's a form that you can fill out with if you have the numbers, or at least you have the dates on the bonds, they'll tell you what they're worth.
Guess what website I'll be visiting later?
Treasury, you know, it's a funny thing. TreasuryDirect.gov is the Treasury's website, and it used to be very not consumer-friendly. I mean, I've been doing Treasury bills for a long, long time. And about a year ago, when this whole savings bond thing got going, they completely redid their website and made it very consumer-friendly. So it's as easy to work with as a Fidelity website or the Vanguard website, because everything's now electronic. And this transition period where those carefully preserved savings bonds have to go by mail to get cashed in is a tough one for me.
That's weird. All right. Bob has called us at 312-981-7200. Bob, you have a question for Terry Savage? Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hi. Did you have a question? Are you in the bathroom?
No.
No. I'm trying to mess with my speaker. It's not working.
There we go, Bob. You
there we are.
You
all
have
right.
a question for Terry.
I do. Thank you. Terry, you probably have addressed this, but I've never heard you address it. So I have I-bonds, and if I were to cash them in before the five-year maturity period, what 3 months of interest would I lose?
Good question.
Thank you.
You know what? I will have to ask my treasury person. I'm going to assume it's the most recent 3 months, which all it says, I'm looking at the page. If you cash in the bond, you lose the last 3 months of interest. So these are not the last 3 months of interest you want to lose.
Right. But I was hoping it wouldn't be the first 3 months because I bought them when they were at 9.whatever%. And if they go down significantly in May.
You're still earning more than what you'd be earning in most savings accounts now. Don't forget the new interest that comes in, which it looks to me, they never announce the fixed part of it until the date, so that's Monday, May 1st. But it looks like this whole thing's going to be just under 4%. That's still a pretty good rate. You want to wait until next November. A year from now, if rates continue to go down, don't cash them in. They're still a good deal.
Okay. Thank you very much. I've been wondering that for a while. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Okay. Eileen has a question for you, 312-981-7200. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, this is, I currently have $16,000 in a IRA CD, of course, it's making no money at all, and I'd like to take $10,000 of that and buy some T-bills. However, because it's a CD IRA, there's no routing number or account number.
According to
my bank, there's no way to roll it over to buy the T-bill.
Eileen,
could I ask, not only to embarrass you, but can I ask how old you are?
I'll be 80 this July.
Good. Congratulations.
Yeah, way to go, Eileen.
And if you are with a major, and what's your CD paying?
Oh, like 0.0.
Okay. All right. Guess what? Well, first of all, let me make this clear. You cannot buy T-bills with money in an IRA. You can, but you have to go to a place like Fidelity or Vanguard, and that's probably not what you want to do. However, you could get a much better rate on a CD. And how long term a CD was that?
It matures, or I can make a change in July.
Oh, in July. Well, guess what? There is no penalty. Most banks acknowledge this. There is no penalty for breaking a CD once you're past the age of required minimum distributions. Which is, if it's an IRA CD, there's no penalty once you're past the RMD age. So I'm going to ask you what bank?
Fifth Third.
Okay. I'm going to say, I wish I could do this while I'm on the phone, find out what current CDs rates are at Fifth Third. Here we go. Fifth Third Bank. Let's talk about, see if I can find CDs. I'm sure there's a better CD rate. And I'm just kind of looking, but it's hard to do when I'm talking to you.
I know. We do need to take a break. You want to do that?
You ask them for a much better CD rate and tell them, if not, you're going to go transfer it. You're going to do an IRA rollover to Wintrust, our sponsor here, where you will definitely get a higher rate than what you're getting in your old CD.
But ask your bank first. They may up it, correct?
You say to them, I understand you don't charge a penalty for IRA CDs once you're over 73. Okay, I'm going to break my CD, and I want a new higher rate. And if you don't give me a high enough rate, I'm just going to do a rollover. That's a magic word you should use, Eileen, and take it to another bank that'll give me a higher rate for my IRA CD. And then watch that person go ask the manager. And then tell the manager that Terry Savage told you could do that.
Looks like you'll be in good shape then.
And then call back next week if you have a problem. Tell us what happened.
I can't is how can I do buy some T-bills?
All right, we need to take a break, ladies. So should
I'll
we?
I'll tell you. Eileen, send me go to terrysavage.com and click the button that says Ask Terry. Put your phone number in there and I'll call you back.
Okay.
Terry Savage is here. I used to be afraid of the Wintrust Business Lunch when I filled in for John, but with Terry here, I am afraid no more.
That's the goal. That's a goal. Money should not be this fearful topic.
But it is to some people.
Are you afraid of the dentist?
I don't like the dentist either, and I love
don't like
my
dentist. I've kind of outgrown that, but you have to outgrow being afraid of money early because you have to make the right decisions.
I just don't like it. I don't like it at all. 773 has texted us. Wendy, can you please ask Terry the following? My college student daughter, age 19, has $6,500 in her checking account. Would a CD be a good option for her to invest or bonds? Most banks are offering 5% on CD. What are tax implications?
No. Well, that's very short-term money, I'm going to presume. I love it. A college student. I thought it was going to be about student loans. Here's somebody with money. I don't know what the time of need of that money is, but I would say that this is the kind of money that you don't go fooling around with. For $6,000 to earn an extra 1% interest is not going to make that much difference. Presumably, it's going to get used for school or school expenses at some point. So I would just leave it in that checking account. I mean, that's not the Terry Savage that says, go run out and move your money and get the highest rate.
Right.
But it will impact if she is applying for federal student loans. Having that kind of money will cut into the student loan she can get. So there's more to that story that I have to ask a few questions about that.
All right.
But other than that, I would definitely just see how well she can discipline herself to graduate with money in the bank. That would be an incredible accomplishment.
All right, let's try this one. This is going to be fun. 219 has texted for Terry. We have no credit card debt, own our home outright, and keep 6 months of income aside in case of an emergency.
Yay, you're my kind of people.
No, this is not Wendy Snyder. Currently, that money is in a regular checking account earning nothing. Should we move that money into something else?
Yes, you can look around now. For a while, T-bills were the thing that really outpaced everything else. And currently, three-month T-bills are yielding 5% or six-month T-bills. So go to terrysavage.com. There's an article called How to Buy Treasury Bills, and you could buy, stagger the purchases so they will mature at different times. So you have a certain amount of liquidity. If not, just ask your bank what its money market fund is yielding. If it's only yielding 1.9%, then read that article called How to Buy Treasury Bills at my website.
Your website is awesome, terrysavage.com. 708 has said, thank you very much for the show. I will be 72 years old this year. I've saved my whole life and have an adequate nest egg for retirement. If I wait till next year to start taking my RMDs, I'm sure it will put me into a higher bracket for tax purposes. Can I start taking some of that money out this year to try to ease the burden on taxes? Or once I start, do I have to take them all at the same time?
No. You can take your money out and spend it on travel or whatever you want at any time. Just do some calculations about making it last as long as you do. So it may seem like now you've got plenty of money, but as you move forward, you don't know.
708.
I'm struggling with allergies today.
Wendy. Oh, I am so sorry.
Take a break.
I will take a break. All right, we're going to take a break a little early.
I can talk about T-bills if you like. I did learn from Terry about them, and I did move some money in there, and it took, 15 minutes or something. It was really easy.
I don't know why I'm so afraid of everything. I can't even.
I was the same way. You just have to dive in sometimes.
I have to ask how much the pizza is going to be so I can figure out the tip because I can't do it on the fly. I just don't like numbers. But let's take a look at the Wintrust Business Minute right now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Positive signs for the Chicago economy from River North. Cranes reports landlords there filled up more empty storefronts in 2022. The retail vacancy rate fell to 17% from 19% the year before. 39% of the River North retail space is occupied by bars and restaurants, and the vacancy drop suggests that people have returned to pre-pandemic dining patterns. The report says neighborhoods south of River North, including The Loop, are still struggling to recover. The Loop retail vacancy rate rose to 28.3% last year, as many workers still haven't returned to their offices or work hybrid schedules. Lincolnshire-based CDW is laying off employees and warning investors it'll miss its first quarter revenue forecast. The computer retailer hasn't said how many workers will be cut, but the number is believed to be near 600 employees worldwide. That would be about 4% of CDW's global headcount of 15,000 workers. CDW joins other tech firms in cutting costs and workers amid a slowdown in the tech industry. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And Steve Alexander with your business of food.
Yep, and we've got more pizza talk on WGN today after I tell you we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Well, I think we can mostly agree, can't we, that you cannot have pizza without a crust? But it turns out some people like the crust only.
And we have had some consumers that have called and said, I just make the crust. And they're thrilled to just eat a home running crust on its own.
That's Gina Bolger, marketing director and part of the fourth generation running Home Run and Pizza.
So we thought, you know, why not just give them the crust?
They tested it over Christmas.
And we sold it as a Crustmas miracle.
Clever. Who came up with that?
It was a culmination of a few people in a room. And
sounds like you have fun out there.
We do. We make pizza for a living.
Well, that Crustmas miracle sold out quickly.
Our traffic on our Home Run and store online increased by almost 50%.
So it's making a comeback, but with a new name.
Nothing But Crust is literally what it sounds like. And it's kind of a blank canvas for our loyal fans to make what they want with our pizza.
Gina, do you want to just go ahead and tell all of us the secret recipe for your crust?
We can't do that.
Not even a hint.
It's a light, crispy, flaky, croissant-like crust. We do spend quite a bit of time prepping our crust. So made with love.
Okay, there it is. 700 men and women at the Home Run Inn Pizza Factory in Woodridge crank out a lot of frozen pizzas.
Over 100,000 pizzas a day.
And she says with the addition of the Nothing But Crust product, they're looking at maybe 25 million pizzas by the end of the year.
It's a lot of pizza.
Yeah. If you're a crusty, the frozen Nothing But Crusts are now available in stores.
At Jewel, they're selling two crusts for $9.99.
And you can buy at homeruninpizza.com, where you can also find recipes for toppings, including dessert pizzas, such as
a spiced apple pie dessert pizza, caramel and apples and ice cream. It's so delicious.
Yeah, well, to each their own. By the way, Home Run Inn made it to the final four of the WGN 2023 Chicago Pizza Madness Tournament. I'm Steve Alexander, and that's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Terry is with us as we wrap up the Wintrust Business Lunch today. Wendy in for John. 630 has texted us. The Series EE, those double E $200 savings bonds, we mentioned it at the beginning of the show. Can they tax you on them when you cash them as income on your income tax stuff and have to pay?
Oh, yes, they will.
All right.
Yes, you'll get a 1099. And, you know, it started out being worth, you know, someone put $25 in. It could be even worth more than the original face value, which would have said it would have doubled, depending on how long you've held it. Yeah, and that's all taxable as income in the year you cash them in. So, warning to seniors who may have some old bonds. You want to maybe stagger cashing them in. You're supposed to cash them in at maturity, but it could put you into a higher tax bracket or impact your Medicare Part B premium every month. So if you're going to take a big gain on savings bonds, do a little tax planning first.
All right. Can you, here's another text involving that. Can you ask Terry if there's a way to find bonds that have been lost? I know I have a few from when I was a kid I got as a birthday present, but during moves I've lost them. Is there a way to find them or are they gone?
Yes, actually,
really?
The Treasury has a service.
Wow.
And they will, it has a very cute name, I'm trying to remember it. But they do have a service where they will search out old bonds the best that they can with the information you give them. Search for lost bonds. Go to treasurydirect.gov and in the search bar put, find my lost bonds.
That is incredible.
They do.
Is it because just they have the serial numbers for them? Is that how they can do that?
Oh, sure. Originally, they had the serial numbers. So if you knew what the name they were issued in and about when, they can find out if they were cash, they will know that as well.
That is incredible. I want to share a story. I went to my local bank, it's a big bank, with one of my sons who doesn't have a credit card, and he wanted to start his credit rating. The guy was really nice and explained things. In the old days, they said, keep a balance on there. This guy says, use it for lunch, for filling up your gas tank, for little things, and then every 2 weeks, make a payment on it. And that will get your credit, get you a credit score for the first time ever. Is that good advice?
Yeah. Did you have to co-sign for that credit card?
Nope, I did not.
Well, that's a very nice bank because they're pretty tight about that. If you want to find a credit card to start building credit, and you don't have any credit, so mostly you can't get one.
Yeah, that's the...
You go to creditcards.com and search for secured cards where you put $500 or $1,000 in a savings account at the issuing bank. And it looks just like your regular Visa card. That's your credit limit. And then, yes, I always say, use it. Use it regularly every month. Pay in full and on time. That starts your credit report. And pretty soon you'll be inundated with offers for new credit cards.
And that's what this bank said. Once you start getting those, then we have a better credit card that you can apply for. But wait till those offers start coming in.
Exactly. And then be sure to close the original one. You've only had it for a little bit. You don't want to have lots of credit cards. If you're a young person out there, you don't want to have lots of credit cards open because that can be detrimental to your credit report, too.
All right. 708. If I pay off some of my credit debt today, how fast will it reflect in my credit score? Great question.
You'd be amazed. If it's credit card debt, you'd be amazed. If you subscribe to Credit Karma, or if you even check your bank's website, because many of them now list your credit score. And there are a number of different calculations, your FICO score or others. But you would be amazed how quickly they notice that you... For instance, sometimes I'll charge something very large on my credit card because I want the points or the miles.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I'll get a note saying from Credit Karma, check your credit score, it's changed, and it's gone down 14 points. And I laugh and I say, oh, well, I just paid it. It'll show up next week. And sure enough, a week later, I'll say, your credit score, you're wonderful. It's gone up. So they watch that balance very quickly.
All right. 262, Terry, if I sell my house and keep the cash, will the $400,000 be charged as income?
Whoa, wait a minute. What $400,000? Is it a capital gain? Did you buy your house, 50 years ago for $50,000, and you're selling it for $400,000? If so, you have $350,000 worth of gains, and you can have the first $250,000 tax-free of those gains. If you're married, it's $500,000. You can do this every time you sell a house. Exclude $250,000 or $500,000 on a joint return, and above that, it's taxable. But if you bought your house last year or 5 years ago for $350,000 and you sell it now for $400,000, there's no tax, and you just put it in treasury bills or a money market account somewhere safe. Now you're over the insured limit, so that's why I mentioned treasury bills. Wire the proceeds to your bank and then decide what you're going to do with the money.
Have you ever been stumped on the air?
Oh, yeah, lots of times. And I'll say, you know what, post, send that to me, and I'll check into it. Sometimes it's something specific, and I want to try and help someone. But sometimes it's just like, that's a great question. I'm going to learn figuring this out. People post on my Ask Terry blog. I'm a little behind because I've been suffering with this, either sinus thing or allergies, but I'm planning to spend the weekend catching up. And lots of times when you post questions, I think, they could have found this. And I realize, but I know exactly where to find the answer to this if I don't have it in my head. And I can click and put a link up for people.
All right. Here's another one for you from 630. I have four Roth IRAs. Each has one of my four kids as beneficiary. Is that safe for them to get automatically if or when I pass away?
It depends on how much you trust your kids. I mean, it's fair, assuming there's roughly the same amount in each. And you're right. Everybody, here's a reminder, everybody go check the beneficiary of your old IRAs and old insurance policies.
Yes, I had
no one. I
got
another question from someone, and it was still in his ex-wife's name. Don't I have any rights in this? No, a beneficiary designation passes outside all the estate tax laws. But, most people have three children who are just wonderful, perfect, darling, and will handle the money well. And a fourth child who it will go up in smoke or something like that. That's why people create a revocable living trust and set up a trustee for the vast amount of their assets. So if you're seriously in a position where one child is unable to, or you think it's not going to be to their best advantage to have complete access to something like as a beneficiary, then maybe you name your other children as beneficiaries and set up a trust or something like that for the money to go into with the older brother or sister as a trustee.
That's good advice. We have time for one phone call. Barbara has called us, 312-981-7200. You have a question, Barbara, for Terry Savage?
Yeah, hi, ladies. Love the show. A clarification on the capital gains answer you just gave, Terry. I'm selling a secondary home and an investment property. Ooh. Do we get the $500,000 married exemption on all of those?
No, it's only on your principal residence. Sorry, I shouldn't have been clear. I think the question was about someone's principal residence. But if you have investment property or not your principal residence, then you're going to be subject to capital gains taxes, which is why you kept all along good records of the bathroom you added when you put the new roof on and everything, because that adjusts your cost basis upward and diminishes your gain, but you'll pay capital gains taxes on that.
Excellent. Thanks for the clarification. Appreciate it.
There you go, Barbara. And we do have time for Dante. He has called us as well. Hi, Dante.
Hi, ladies. Question for Terry. Dad's a retired attorney, recently found a stack of savings bonds in one of his files that belongs to, I think, one of his clients that are now both deceased. Can you cash a savings bond that's in someone else's name?
No, you can't unless you have a power of attorney, or unless you have a will, for example, a document that makes you the beneficiary. So I'm going to assume that there were no heirs. He was an attorney. He had the savings bonds, which is strange. And there should have been a will. If they died intestate, then there must have been a probate court. So he will not be able to cash them, is the point, without legal documentation that he's the rightful owner.
Okay, that's what I thought, but just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm ending with this because this is fascinating to me. 847 has texted us, how can I achieve a perfect FICA score? I can't get above 834. I pay it off every month in full. I have a 45-year credit history. This is on my bucket list.
You and me both. That's about where I am, depending on what I've put on my credit card that month. I think the only person that must have had a perfect 800, the perfect score was my mother, who always paid everything on time. I mean, she was a fanatic. I guess that's where I got it. I have not touched a perfect score either, and I think maybe they just put that out there to keep us trying.
That is great. That's a great answer. Well, good luck. It's on Terry Savage's bucket list, too, so you're in good company. Terry, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate
it. Thanks, Randy. Fun.